there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
It's great to be here with you today. God gives all believers spiritual DNA. It is the new hope of new life to spread wherever you go. So listen up for some new hope for today.
Now all you need is faith to have a diesel's hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
We're going to turn to our Bibles in the letter of Paul to the Galatians. Chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. Hear now the word of God. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is justified not by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And we have come to believe in Jesus Christ so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by doing the works of the law, because no one will be justified by the works of the law. But if in our efforts to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again the very things that I once tore down, then I demonstrate that I am a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Thus says the Word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we know that you do indwell believers, that you indeed are in us, Christ in us. We know that you are our teacher. We know that you can take the imperfect words of this imperfect pastor, Lord, and make them clear to our hearts and minds and souls, as only you can do. So, Spirit, we ask you to do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes we misinterpret this whole idea of God being in us. And it's sort of like I'm borrowing this illustration from Francis Chan, actually. But it's a good illustration. It's kind of like God comes down to you and he gives you this great gift. You know, and he has this great gift and he's holding it out to you, and you come up and yeah, you accept the gift. And to you, you know, this gift it's like a pair of ice skates. And so you get the ice skates and you put them on. And you go out on the ice, and you start kind of skating around, and you start, you start feeling it in skating. If you've ever done that before, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the more you skate, the better you get at it, the more things you can do. And so you get these ice skates, and you start twirling around and spinning around, and all the things that they do when you watch the Olympics. And then later on, God comes back to you, and he says, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, you gave me this great gift. You gave me these ice skates, and I could go out on the ice, and I could spin around, and I'm just loving it because of what you've given me." He said, "Those are hockey skates." He said, "You see, I want to build a team, and I want you to be on the team." You get the illustration? Christ in you. It's an eternal joy, no question about it, like the figure skates. You know, you could dance and spin. It's great joy. But his inness in you should be screaming to come out, right? So that through you, others may have eternal joy. Does that make sense? That's what discipleship is all about and spreading the gospel is all about. And so what did we have last week? You know, we have this idea. You know, this is kind of the idea that people have about God, right? It's that most people believe in God. I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, there aren't that many atheists who really don't believe in anything. But most people believe that there is some God. Sort of nameless faces. We don't really know who he is. And so as a Christian, you know, what can we say and what can we tell people about God? Because most people don't realize that there's a God who exists who is for you. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world," right, "that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." The purpose of Christ then is this, "but to save the world through him." So in other words, he is one who is for you. This is a God who is for you, who smiles down upon you, who loves you. He looks down from heavenly places with this love for you, and he smiles. He actually likes you. His desire is to be for you, not against you. And so Almighty God is for us, and yet he wants to be with us. And there is a way that even believers and those who aren't believers but believe in a God, they want God to be kind of with them too, right? You know, can see maybe this Christian God, or they can see whatever God they believe in and think, well, it'd be nice to have some connection there, God with you. And so not only is this holy God for you, but this holy God wants to be with you. And as mankind contemplates God, he desires to be with God too. And there's a problem. Because when you experience that holy, heavenly God Almighty, when you experience that in your life, and some of you may know this, I mean, it's humbling and it's scary a little bit. You know, look at Isaiah, who was brought up into heaven, right? That he just completely fell apart, you know, on his face, prostrate. "I am undone, for I've seen the Lord." And you look at Moses, who wanted to see God in his divinity and had to be placed in the cleft of a rock. So as God passed by, he could see his back. This God is good, no question about it, but he's not safe. When God Almighty comes beside us, here's the problem, is there's this vast difference between this holy heavenly God and us. His holiness and our sinfulness seems like this unbridgeable gap. All we can do is fall on our knees and ask his forgiveness, because in Romans 3:23 we read that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now see, for this holy and awesome God to be by us, to be with us, to be for us, he does even better than that, because that's not enough for him. He became one of us. We read in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the New Living Testament, the Word became a human being and made his home among us. He walked our walk. He was tempted like we are, yet he led a perfect, holy life. Jesus comes down from heaven and lives as one of us. He loves as one of us. He even likes us while he is one of us. Jesus was in front of every aspect of society, from the fringe elements of society to the principalities and rulers of society. Economics didn't matter to him. Status of where you were in that social ladder didn't matter to Christ. See, he not only loves us with a heavenly love, but he actually liked those around him. And when we understand this concept fully, now when you are brought to this gospel message of this Jesus who lived among us, who led a perfect life, even to death on the cross, where he took our sins upon himself and was the supreme sacrifice, so that we who believe may have eternal life, may not perish. And so we lay our sins to Jesus, who became one of us. And there's some supernatural thing that then happens. Jesus comes to live in us. God comes to live in you. This is a crazy thing. It's a supernatural thing. It's not something that we can understand in this horizontal plane that we live in, this universe, in this created universe. It is a supernatural event that occurs, and there is no question about it. I gave to you all the passages, right, of inness, of the Holy Spirit being in you, God being in you, Christ being in you. That's pretty compelling. Look at those and read down those. I mean, now, Galatians chapter 2, 19 and 20, in our verse today, for through the law died to the law, in other words, the Old Testament, all the laws and obedience they had to live by in that time to be righteous, and they kind of obscured that and made it to be this just a bunch of laws that would help you get to heaven, build your own ladder to heaven. That wasn't it at all. They should have been looking for the Messiah to come. Some of them were. So through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God, because this Messiah that came, now I believe in him. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, myself, my body, my sins, dead on the cross, no more to live. And it's no longer I who live then. It's Christ who lives in me. It's Christ who lives in me. Say it louder. Come on. I mean, this is a spiritual reality. Christ lives in me. See, this awesome spiritual reality gives purpose, it gives meaning, it gives mission to our physical bodies, this Christ in us. Jesus' walk of example, his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, gives believers a new life in Christ. God in you. And that's how much God loves you, you see? And we know, you know that, because when this happens, isn't it hard to even explain to somebody? I mean, this idea of Christ in you, you know, when we look at it, we see this in the Gospels. You see it right away in Matthew, for it is not you who speak, and he sends the apostles out. Remember that, you know, two by two, he's sending them out. And he tells them, remember now, it's not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father speaks in you. Okay? We look at the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of John is filled with this idea. I'm not going to read every one of these, but I want you to, you know, take this out. Follow along with me. I mean, this is awesome. An hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And you can only do that with God in you. And the Father who sent me himself, verse 37 and chapter 5, has testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. It's the antithesis of God dwelling in you. When you believe, he is in you. In verses 16 and 26, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him, it does not know him. But you know him, because he abides, lives in, with you, and will be in you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. That's why I pray in the beginning of the sermon that the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, because I know he will. His word does not return void. It will not. It will give you something if you're attentive to it, because God lives in you. Yeah. And so we go to the book of Acts, and we read, as Jesus is ready to ascend into heaven, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And we know in chapter 2 that did indeed happen. And what did Peter say in his first sermon after the Holy Spirit had entered into him? It shall be, quoting Joel, it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit on all of mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, proclaim the word of God. Peter said to them, repent. How can we be saved? Repent, each of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we move to the book of Romans, and Paul writes, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us in groanings too deep for words. How's that accomplished? Because the Spirit lives in us. In verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And later in chapter 12, he says, for just as we have many members in one body, this is the church, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. It's the church being sent out by the power of God and the Spirit who lives in us. Paul writes in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you're a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, the thing that God does comes out in 2 Corinthians. Why does God do this? And it's right here. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. That's the seal of your salvation. The Holy Spirit living in you. He writes later in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, and in him you too are being built together, each one of you, to become a dwelling in which God lives in his Spirit. Paul later writes in 2 Timothy, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And lastly, the Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and overcome those who don't believe, overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and authority. See, this idea of God in you is poured out inside of you, this message of the gospel, this salvation that comes through Christ. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, who lives in you, teaches you, who counsels you, who gives you peace. Where there is some evidence in your life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, those fruits of the Spirit. All because He lives in you. And so yet we are not figure skaters. We're on a hockey team. We're out playing together to go out with a purpose as a team. Disciples in Jesus Christ, making disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we go out and we are to, what? Let them see you and me. I mean, isn't that the prayer? That should be the prayer every day. Lord, let them see you and me. And I've said this before, though oftentimes when I go to visit those who are sick or in the hospital or those who have lost a loved one and so forth, I mean, my prayer before that is this. Because they really don't want to see me. They want to see Jesus. And so each of you, as individual believers in Jesus Christ, you're bringing Jesus with you wherever you go, whether you like it or not. I've said this before. You know, he's either your pal that you're introducing people to, you know, or he's your crazy uncle that you're sticking behind, don't want anyone to notice or see, right? Let them see you in me, Lord. Because, see, when this happens, when we go out and we share that gospel message with others and we let them see Christ in us, then what's happened? They understand that God is for them, that God is with them in a sense, that He is holy. That He became one of them and lives in them too. And so the gospel message is spread as disciples in Christ go out. You see, for a long, long time in Western culture, we have not done this as a church. There has been this sort of fear and timidity of talking about Jesus Christ to somebody else. Like, you don't have a theology degree, and I can't do that, and I'm not sure how to do that, and how do I... You know, forget all that. You don't have to worry about that. If you're attentive to who God puts in your path, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And I've seen that done time and time again in my life. And I hope you do too. Christianity is being raised again to new life in a relationship with God. Spiritually born again. When a person trusts in Christ for salvation, he spiritually participates with the Lord in His crucifixion. He participates in His victory over sin and death. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The believer's old self is dead, having been crucified with Christ. And you are now a new man or a new woman. You're a new creation. You have the privilege of the indwelling Holy Spirit empowering you. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't. Don't squelch the Spirit. Don't put Him under a rug or throw the bed sheet over Him when He's speaking in your life. You know when that happens. I know when that happens. Are there times that I don't listen? Yeah, there are. I feel sorry for that. I do. And I confess that to God every time. But this I know. At the times that I do respond, miracles happen. This sort of spiritual DNA that is in you so that as disciples of Christ, you are to be for others. You're to be with others. You're to be one of, part of others' lives so that God can live in them.
Let them see you in me.
them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I see. Let them see.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.
Let them feel you.